Congressman, this is a question that was emailed. The U.S. government now has to borrow 43 cents for every dollar that it spends. China, Japan, Middle Eastern, and Northern African nations currently hold more than 40% of U.S. Treasury debt, but they all have financial challenges which interfere with their ability to continue to fund the U.S. government's budget deficits. How are the Republicans addressing this crisis?
Yeah, absolutely. If you looked at the Republican budget, we talked about trillions of dollars over the decade of reduction of spending. And you have to do it two ways. You have to cut. Has to happen. The government grew exponentially in the last 2 years. I mean, exponentially. When the president got into office, there was about a $400 billion deficit. 2 years later, it's $1.6 trillion. It's unsustainable. We have to get back to 2008 spending and before, actually. And we have to promote job growth policies. More regulation, more taxes is just weighing down the economy. If we don't have a good energy policy, and I argue we don't, it's a disaster, you're going to get gasoline that hits $5 a gallon after Memorial Day. All of those things drag down recovery and drag down our economy. We will improve, the tax base improves, you know, not by having big government programs or expanded government programs, but by having people back to work. And when people get back to work, good things happen. So we ought to be about promoting getting people back to work. Lower rates, keep cutting spending. We have got to stop borrowing as much money as we do. We're handing our children a bankruptcy slip. I can't imagine we would do that on our watch.
All right. Final question for you. Gas prices are killing us here in Michigan. The speculation, I know, has a lot to do with that. But when you see what output has been bouncing up and down, I know the refineries had to shut down to do maintenance. I know they had to change from the winter blend to the spring and summer blend. But they're killing us here. What can you do to help us?
Well, and this is something that we've fought for years. And there is a very different philosophy, including the president's, that believe that high energy prices get us to alternatives sooner. I completely reject that. We made a contract with Americans years and years ago that you get to move where you want. I mean, it's part of our social liberties belief in this country. You don't have to live a mile from where you work and walk there every day. You want to go to a better school. You want more acreage. You just go out, you buy it, and you drive to work. Well, now there's this new philosophy that says, well, that was a bad idea. We're going to try to punish everybody that drives or commutes to work as hard as we can to get them to change their behavior. That's just wrong. And clearly, it's wrong for the economy. You can see what happened. We are not Europe. We are not France. We are not London. We are not Denmark. We're the United States of America. We drive cars. Now, can we get to alternatives? Yes, we can. But you can't do it on the back of the middle class. They are punishing the middle class who commutes on average 40 miles a day. So gas prices more than doubled. More than doubled. Imagine what that does to the average budget.
Believe me, I know.
Oh, my God. We're all suffering from this. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's killing the United States economy. This economy wants to come back. We're ready to go. But you can't keep taking money off of kitchen tables and expect to have good things happen.
Now, I know that these oil companies are putting a lot of money. It costs a lot for R&D. It costs a lot to drill. I understand that. But isn't there something that can be done to streamline increases or to keep them from being so drastic, especially in challenging economic times?
Yeah, I argue that a robust national energy plan works, which means we have to explore our own energy. Production in Alaska is going down. So what we need to say is we need to produce more energy. Shutting down all of the oil production, a third of our oil production, or let me rephrase that, energy production, some of it was natural gas, came off the coast of Louisiana. We had some bad examples in deep water drilling, but they closed everything. The president said, all of it's done. Well, absolutely that caused the spike in prices. We haven't built a new refinery since 1974. We have to get out of this notion that we don't have to have a robust national energy plan that means we're not so dependent on countries that are very politically unstable.
No, we're afraid of oil spills, aren't we?
Well, and we should be afraid of oil spills, but there's no place in the world more environmentally friendly to get oil out of the ground than the United States. If they, I tell you, if those folks who are concerned about it here looked about where their oil comes from, I think they'd be shocked. And so, yes, we need to make sure that we don't have oil spills, but we can do it. And we can do it in an environmentally friendly way. The reason they kept going to deeper water, I find this interesting, is because they kept saying, well, we don't want you to drill here. We don't want you to drill here. Keep going out deeper, deeper. We, by policy, shove them out deep. And then the whole environmental community said, my God, what are they doing drilling so deep? Well, you won't let them drill anywhere else. That's why they drill so deep. We have the energy resources to stop sending our money to places like Saudi Arabia and Russia, by the way, who's the second largest producer of oil these days, not real friendly to the United States. We have the capability. And then we continue to work with it's an all of the above strategy. Yes, we have to have wind and solar, but it can't be the answer. And you shouldn't mandate a family of four with two dogs into a smart car. It doesn't work for America.
All right, I've got one more question for you. I got a minute to ask you. China is killing us with trade. What can we do? What can you do to balance that?
Yeah. One of the things is that we've got to keep continuing to put pressure on their currency manipulation. I had the first bill in Congress years ago, and we've had a very difficult time. Now it's something people understand. That's good. That means we might have the opportunity to do something. It makes them artificially competitive. Wherever the value of the dollar is, they're always cheaper, no matter where it is. You know, they just automatically, which makes their products a little cheaper. We need to continue to put pressure on them to do that. And the best thing we can do, when you get an energy plan that keeps dollars and money and jobs here, that helps us. And when we have a corporate tax policy that meets a demanding world, means that businesses can compete here, that's how we're going to win this fight. We're not going to win it through heavy mandates. We got to get after their cheating, and they cheat. We have to convince companies that this is the place to be, and we can if we don't charge them through the nose. And we need to have an energy plan that keeps money in the United States. We do all of those things, we're going to win this fight.
You and your staff have been so kind with time. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.